It's time for the Wide Nine on 97.1 The Ticket. We look back, we look ahead, we talk all things football with our host, Thomas G. Milliken. Gov, what do you got?
All right, Michigan State's been banned from the Wide Nine this week after failing to score 9 points for the second consecutive week. I just felt with the nines and all that and why. At this point, what's there to say? Most anemic offense.
What about that classic game they played on Saturday? Ooh, defense. Right, Stoney?
No.
I was out. I did the lawn Saturday. And,
ooh, brutal day.
Yeah, well, I had to figure it out at some point because it has snowed three different times when I tried to.
I know.
So I did get it done Saturday, and I come in and I see that, and I'm like, good job. Yeah. Perfect time to do that. All right, Michigan's defense allowed 385 total yards on Saturday. Is there any concern the Wolverines' vaunted defense is starting to show some cracks?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, especially if Chase Winovich, who I think has been their best defensive player, not named Devin Bush from start to finish this year, doesn't play against Ohio State, but I kind of think he's going to play. No one's perfect. I mean, I do think the standards that we've set for the Michigan defense are just too high. But yes, some of the big plays Stoney talked about, the middle of the field has been a little bit more open than I'd feel comfortable with. So I'm mildly concerned.
I'm concerned a little bit going into Saturday because they haven't played teams that have great skill position players, and they will on Saturday. I mean, they have a great quarterback, does Ohio State. Paris Campbell's really good, and if they can get to the edge, Dobbins and even Mike Weber are really good, too. So, yes, there's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, I heard Douglas Karsh say the highest-rated quarterback they've played is 39th in the country. A little concern there because Haskins is a good quarterback, good passing quarterback. All right, should Ohio State make the college football playoff if the Buckeyes upset Michigan and then win the Big Ten championship game?
Well, it also depends on what, like, Oklahoma does. So,
okay, so let's say Oklahoma loses. Let's put the asterisk.
Okay, there. So if Oklahoma loses and Washington State wins out, then you're gonna be, it's going to be between Ohio State and Washington State. I think they should get in there because I think they're a better team than Washington State, but I don't know. It's going to be very, very close. The Purdue loss really bothers a lot of people.
It bothers me, and I say absolutely not. You can't go on the road and get blown out by Purdue and be one of the top four teams in the country when the season's over. Sorry, they're out.
Just because of that.
Yes. I think that should be a deal breaker, don't you?
I don't know. I mean,
would you put UCF in front of them?
No.
Okay, would you put Washington State in front of them?
Yes. I do think there is a slight unfair bias happening because of this cloud around the Ohio State program.
I think you're right.
And I think that's unfair. If you take – that should have nothing to do with them, this
Correct.
Team making the playoff.
You're right.
As much as I hate to say it. All right, Kansas hired Les Miles over the weekend. Can Miles make Kansas a Big 12 contender?
No, absolutely not.
Nobody can?
Mark Mangino can. Bring him back, Mangenius.
Remember that they were talking about that Oklahoma during the Oklahoma-Kansas game Saturday night? Missouri and Kansas were 1-2.
Yeah, Kansas went to the BCS,
no
remember?
No recollection of that.
Remember the one game where the Kansas player got bit by the dog in the back of the end zone? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
Google it. It's a great video. But no, Les Miles is a fine coach, but I'm glad he never got the Michigan job. He went down to LSU. He inherited the team that Nick Saban put together, and he was able to win a national championship with it. So congratulations to him. But no, Les Miles cannot pull any sort of Mad Hatter magic at Kansas. Sorry.
He's a good coach. He's a good recruiter. They should be better. But they can't compete.
One thing with them is that Kansas State and Bill Snyder look to be parting ways, and if they can recruit and get the better kids, there is an opportunity there a little bit.
I guess the key is if he can get a really good modern offensive coordinator, because Les Miles had some, you know, pretty good offensive players at LSU, but they could never score.
Does Kansas have a grass stadium, or are they in artificial turf? Because it's artificial, so yeah. He can't even eat the grass.
Well,
so
I'm convinced that Les Miles isn't to blame for the LSU offensive plagues. The LSU's just... They're doomed. They just never can score no matter what. Or that's always their, you know, what ends up biting them in the butt. All right, I'm beyond puzzled at what the Lions are so far under Matt Patricia. I have no clue what their identity is and if Patricia is a good coach. Can you please help me figure out the Detroit Lions under Matt Patricia?
They're very difficult to figure out because I think he's trying to, with Bob Quinn, figure out exactly what they have. I think he's trying to create an atmosphere of toughness, both on the field and a little bit off the field, as we saw with the snow practice and all that gibberish last week. But I think in today's NFL, I don't think this stuff is going to work that much. I mean, the defense doesn't win anymore.
I think he views this as a rebuild. And unfortunately for us, the rebuild started 2 years ago with Bob Quinn. So that doesn't jibe for the fans or for the media. But I almost feel like he thinks he was given this carte blanche to come in and put the Patriots together in Detroit. And it's like, well, then why is Bob Quinn here? You know, I am curious as to who has more power in the organization. I truly am.
Wow,
it seems
really?
Like Patricia, doesn't it seem like Patricia's acting like he does? Like it's his show?
Yeah, but I mean, it.
But we don't know because Quinn never talks.
Right. He doesn't talk during the season.
Right.
So,
but Patricia changed the practice schedule. Patricia changed the media schedule. Patricia changed a lot of the things in the organization, which have been a certain way for a long time. I'm not saying he's wrong. We're just going to see what kind of effect they have.
All right. The Lions' run defense is trending in the right direction, allowing just under 80 yards per game the last three games. Golden Tate has just 8 touches for 59 yards since being traded. The Eagles are 4-6, just like the Lions. Is it safe to say Bob Quinn won both the Snacks Harrison trade and the Golden Tate trade?
Clearly won the Snacks Harrison trade. I mean, that is the biggest no-brainer of all time. And Golden Tate, if you go under the belief that he was going to leave anyway, then he definitely won that trade as well. The fact is the Lions passing offense has taken a step back. Matthew Stafford, 3 straight games under a 100 passer rating. Now that part of that's on him, part of that's on the offensive line, but they clearly miss Golden Tate. But if you were under the belief, as I think all of us were, that this team wasn't going anywhere anyway, then I think he won both trades.
I definitely think he won both trades. Obviously, Snacks Harrison has played pretty well. You mentioned how much better they are against the run. And even the Golden Tate thing, yes, the Lions miss him, especially with Marvin Jones' situation and, to a lesser extent, Kerryon Johnson. But they weren't going to re-sign him. A third-round pick and... frankly, the Eagles made a mistake making that trade because they need more help in the secondary.
All right, Chicago's 7-3 and a game and a half ahead of the Vikings. Why is nobody buying into the Bears? And who do you think is going to win the North?
I think the reason nobody's buying into the Bears is the quarterback, and he's starting to play a little bit better. I think people are not convinced Trubisky is a top-flight quarterback yet, and I think they will win the NFC North now.
Stoney nailed it. The reason why people don't buy into the Bears is twofold. Number one is Trubisky. They still don't believe it. He is more known for his running than he is for his passing, but you can't deny what the results are. I think a lesser reason, too, is that Matt Nagy was not one of the hot coaching names off in the offseason, and so people are still like, oh, wait, Matt Nagy, is he really? And he is. I mean, he's obviously a very good coach, and he's getting the most out of the offense, and people seem to think that Vic Fangio may be one of the most underrated defensive minds in football. I'll say the Bears are going to win. I mean, they obviously have a game in hand against the Vikings by beating them the other night, and they're 7-3, so why not the Bears?
Yeah, I like what you said about Fangio there at the end. He was huge in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And got no attention because of Harbaugh when they had their success. Mike Florio from NBC and ProFootballTalk.com angered Eagles fans during the game on Sunday when he tweeted that the Eagles should surrender the Lombardi Trophy to the Saints already. Now, that was a little bit, you know, I mean, come on, they did win it. You can't take it away from them. They didn't look like champs on Sunday. Are you taking the Saints or the field right now to win the Super Bowl?
I'm taking the field for two reasons.
Odds.
One, statistical odds. I mean, right, I'll take 31-1. And the other one is that a lot of times in the NFL, there is that team right around Thanksgiving. Who's going to beat that team? Who's, you know, and we always look ahead and say, oh, it's going to be the Chiefs and the Saints, or it's going to be the Chiefs and the Rams. And then something always changes. A long way to go in the season. Plus, the Saints are going to have to make the always seemingly fatal decision as to whether or not to rest their starters down the stretch.
I'm going to take the field as well. I do think the Saints all around are the best team in the NFL. But Sean Payton sometime is going to go Sean Payton and do something stupid in a big game where he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room and cost them the game.
The thing is, they're playing defense.
I know. Yes, they are.
That's I said, I think 3-4 weeks ago, I thought they were the clear team, best team in football. And I wasn't surprised what they did to the Rams, and I just they held the Rams in check a little bit. And I think
their point differential is 139.
Yeah.
And they've only lost the one game, and it was obviously an aberration week 1 against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and they struggled against the Browns early, and then once they got after 2 games, they got rolling.
Yeah.
Cowboys were left for dead by some after starting 3-5. They've won 2 straight at Philly and at Atlanta. Meanwhile, the Eagles, like I said earlier, 4-6, and the division leading Redskins just lost Alex Smith. Who wins the NFC East and why?
Well, the Eagles suck because their secondary is completely blown up. Not that Alex Smith was great, but when you lose your quarterback, you ain't doing anything. I hate to say this, but yes, the Dallas Cowboys are winning that division, and Elliott's playing really well, and they're winning because of defense. That Rod Marinelli, Chris Richard defense is really good, and the kid that they took before the Lions had a chance, whether they would have taken him or not, Van Der Esch, he's making the Sean Lee injury not look so good.
It's going to be the Cowboys. So part of it's their schedule. Stoney, I agree with you on the Alex Smith and the injury. Home against Washington on Thanksgiving Day. Home against New Orleans. That's going to be a loss. That's a Thursday nighter. It should be a good game. Eagles at Indy, which could be a loss. Home against Tampa at the New York Giants. I think they're going to finish 4-2. They're going to finish 9-7, and I think 9-7 will be good enough to win the division.
Giants lurking.
Giants are still alive. and the Giants probably have more talent than anybody.
That last game in New York could meet some unbelievably. Yeah. Finally, Keenan Allen. I hated this because I like the Chargers. I like Allen. I thought it was just out of character. He said after the loss of the Broncos that they dominated the game at the Broncos suck. That's just horrible. Do you ever buy that you can dominate a game and lose? Isn't that the ultimate oxymoron?
You can think it, you just don't say it because it's the song of a loser. And then to pile on and say the Broncos suck. You were home. You were supposed to win. You have the advantage. You have the skill level advantage. So you can think it all you want. If you want to be brimming with confidence after a loss, that's fine. But you just don't say it.
You can dominate and lose. It's happened. Fluke plays happen. And stupid plays like Phillip Rivers throwing the ball into the ground rather than just take a sack and keep the clock rolling when they didn't have any timeouts left. But you can't say that the other team sucks. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I think it was stupid in the fact, too, that they got to go to Denver still.
Yeah.
You know, I just watch out, man. I like that team in the season, but this team always shoots itself in the foot. And it was very unwise to say what he said.
There it is, the Wide 9, Jamie and Stoney on 97.1 The Ticket.